It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And that was nothing good on TV.
Now, actually today, there could be something good on TV. Who cares? Because my guest is Michelle Stevens. She is the manager of the Baird Small Cap Value Fund. BSVSX is the ticker. And I love having her on the show. She has not been on for quite some time. I love having her on the show because she explains what she thinks very clearly, and she has strong courage of the conviction. She is one of the rare fund managers who sometimes comes on and says, hey, I would short that. I wouldn't just sell it. I really dislike it enough and see where bad things are happening, and that's where I go. So I'm really pleased that she's back. It's BSVSX. That's the ticker symbol. For more information, BairdFunds.com. And R.W. Baird is on Twitter at R.W. Baird, and they're online at rwbaird.com. Michelle Stevens, it's been a while. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chuck, and thanks for the kind words as well.
Well, now I'm going to put you to the test of those kind words, because I said you explain what you do really well, and we have to start with that, because value means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but it means something very specific to you. So explain what goes into your buys, sells, holds, and everything else at Baird Small Cap Value.
Okay, well, I like to think that our definition of value is not so much different from most people's, and that's that we're looking for companies that are trading at low valuations in terms of price to earnings, price to book, et cetera. But what we do that is unique is that we try to get growth for free in the portfolio. We think value and growth investing don't have to be mutually exclusive. So we find companies where we think there's a predictable surprise, we call it. There's a catalyst for better than expected earnings growth, and we see an opportunity for PE multiple expansion. And so when you look at the portfolio, you get value, but you don't have to pay extra to also get growth in the businesses that we own.
That being the case, is the only predictable catalyst something that is a bottoms-up kind of catalyst, or are you looking and saying, wait, I can come up with predictable catalysts based on what we hear our president or Congress saying about healthcare, insurance, infrastructure, or something else?
That's a great question, and I think it can come in both flavors. So my background is in economics, and we also do a lot of macro analysis, and it's an input into the process, but we're always choosing stocks based on bottom-up research that we do on the company. But if we think that there's a trend at the macro level that is favorable or unfavorable, we'll model that into our expectations for the business, and we might be contrary there, and that leads us to new ideas for the portfolio.
So right now, when you are a value manager and you're looking for the specifics that you want in terms of predictable catalysts, but you're also looking for things that are priced right, and we've got a market at record highs, how much value can you find?
Well, surprisingly, we're finding a lot of value. Even though the averages are at highs, we've had a lot of rotation in the market over the last year. You know, we had the deep cyclical, the deep value names run hard after the election, and you've seen many of those names give back or trade sideways as things like tax reform haven't come to fruition yet. We haven't really got an acceleration in economic growth. We didn't get an infrastructure plan at this point. So we've found rotation and opportunities in other areas where there has been growth. We're overweight in industrials, but not so much deep cyclicals. We're overweight in information technology, where we're finding a lot of great catalyst in terms of data growth and e-commerce plays.
So that gives us an idea of generally what you're looking at. How about specifically what you're looking at? What's a poster child for the methodology at this point?
Yeah, so, you know, in that vein of looking for a predictable surprise, you know, one of the areas of the market or the economy where we've seen a lot of change is in retail. And as everyone knows, I think at this point, Amazon has been a real disruptor there. And while e-commerce has been growing now at a nice clip for many years, it feels like we've hit an inflection point. And I think that's really because Amazon's strength is in their distribution network, and they've hit a point in time where they're much closer to their customer. So a couple of years ago, they only had warehouses within 20 miles of about 5% of their population. Now that number is 44% of the population. And so increasingly, we're seeing them, you know, steal share from traditional retailers and accelerate growth. And so how can we play this trend in a small cap value portfolio? You know, we're not going to own Amazon. It's a growth name and it's much too large for us. But we find value, again, on that logistics side of the business with some of the partners that can help Amazon build out or finish that network. So we own a couple of companies, ATSG and Atlas Air, for example, both of whom have a relationship with Amazon. Amazon is leasing about 20 planes from each of these two companies to start to build out their air freight network. So they're just really experimenting. This is the tip of the iceberg for Amazon and taking over part of the air freight piece of their network. But it's significant to both of these companies that are relatively small. So they're seeing phenomenal growth, obviously, as they both put into service these 20 planes each for Amazon. And then beyond that, the rest of their customer base is levered to e-commerce because they're in the air freight business as well, both of which have exposure, for example, to DHL, which is also benefiting from the rapid growth in e-commerce. So those are two ways that we've found to play the e-commerce business and Amazon's increasing market share without having to own a large cap growth name.
So that's ATSG, Air Transport Services Group, and Atlas Air is AAWW. What else stands out to you right now, maybe from a different industry?
So from a different industry, but along that same line of thinking, not an industrial, but a technology name, we own Stamps.com in the portfolio. Stamps is another way for us to play the growth in e-commerce because they provide an internet-based mailing and shipping solution for small businesses and wholesalers and high-volume shippers that are benefiting, again, from selling online. So Stamps really provides the whole suite of services. What we like is it's a very recurring revenue-based model. It trades at a low price-to-earnings multiple but has a very strong balance sheet with cash on the balance sheet. And we think the secret really here is that in the last couple of years, they've increasingly gotten into the high-volume shipping market with a purchase of Indicia, and we think that the market hasn't really fully recognized the ramp up in terms of margins and growth in that business. And, you know, the best part about all three of these plays is that not only are they levered to the growth in e-commerce, but they're levered to a multiple of it because when we buy online, we return a lot more. One third of all internet purchases are returned versus 9% in a brick and mortar store. And that means we're shipping them. We're shipping even more things than we're buying. And that means increased leverage for Stamps and Atlas and ATSG.
So if what you are looking for is predictable surprise, what makes you sell? Is it unpredictable surprise or unpleasant surprise or something else?
Well, yeah, both of those would be probably a good reason to sell. And if we stay in this line of thinking about changes in the retail, you know, industry, you know, one of the areas where we had been a seller maybe a year or so ago and have maybe more importantly not been tempted to buy, even though on the surface valuations have looked depressed and maybe attractive based on consensus estimates, has been in the area of traditional retailers. And I think where the market has gotten it wrong in the last year or so, kind of chasing these stocks down, the Macy's of the world and the large cap land and some of the smaller names as well, has been that, you know, they're not just losing revenue necessarily to online sales, but they're really being forced to change their business models. And it's much more expensive to build out these omni-channel experiences for customers. And so as they're looking to increase their e-commerce exposure. They're spending money. They're having to shutter stores, and they're having to offer free shipping to keep up with Amazon. And so margins, I think, have been pressured a lot more than the market has expected. So we have no exposure there, either on the consumer discretionary side or in areas like real estate. We've avoided exposure to, you know, the mall real estate investment trust, et cetera, that have really gotten hit this year.
Now we're going to find out how you feel about some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Play, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with my guest, Michelle Stevens, manager of the Baird Small Cap Value Fund, BSVSX, the ticker. For more information, go to BairdFunds.com or RWBaird.com, and they're on Twitter at RWBaird. You know how hold it or fold it works, so we're just going to jump straight into it. And our first request today comes from Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, and Dale in London, Ohio, two of our regulars who both wanted to know about Omega Healthcare Investors. That's OHI.
Omega is a stock that we have held in the past. They are a real estate investment trust with properties in skilled nursing. And talk about predictable negative surprise. I would label this stock a sell. We no longer hold the name. And that's because there have been a lot of changes to Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement where their operators are exposed. And so Omega is plagued with operators that have credit issues. They've got to worry about credit bankruptcies, I think, moving forward. And even though the stock has an 8% yield right now, I'm concerned about the dividend safety, and I would avoid the stock and the sector.
So that was a sell on OHI, Omega Healthcare Investors.
Oh, boy, that sounded bad.
Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, had a second request. This for Blackstone Mortgage Trust. The Class A shares trade under BXMT.
Blackstone is also a real estate investment trust, and where they're not involved in skilled nursing facilities, they have commercial real estate. The great thing about this company is that they are fed deals from the large Blackstone entity, which is the largest, I think, private equity real estate firm in the United States. So they get great deals. They're well diversified, and I would rather have this 8% yield where I think the dividend is much more stable and able to grow than in an Omega Healthcare that we just discussed previously. So I think Blackstone is a buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yep, if you're going to bet on 8% yields, this would be the one. It's Blackstone Mortgage Trust, BXMT, and Michelle Stevens just said it was a buy. John in Seattle wants to know about Leidos Holdings Incorporated, LDOS.
Leidos is involved in the defense space. They're a contractor to the government. So we like defense right now. We think with the new administration, we're obviously going to see the budgets finally grow again after many years. We've had two names in the portfolios, in fact, bought out so far this year in the defense space. And Leidos is pretty attractively valued still at about 15 times forward numbers. So I think it looks like a buy here.
That's a buy on Leidos Holdings, ticker symbol LDOS.
Would you mind stepping aside? I've got a purchase to make.
Brian in Houston would like to know about Zag Incorporated. It's ticker symbol ZAGG.
Zag is a very small cap company. They make InvisiShield products for cell phones, so the little plastic you put over the top of your glass so it doesn't scratch. But more interestingly, they bought Mophie a couple of years back, and they're turning around that business, which supplies portable power, rechargeable cases for phones, et cetera. I love where they're positioned with the new phones coming out. They'll be everybody will be looking to replace their phone cases and their InvisiShield. They also are offering the wireless charging pads, which are going to be hot as the new iPhone comes out. And even though the stock has more than doubled, I think it's still a speculative buy. Because it's trading at a very low valuation as earnings recover from that Mophie acquisition.
So that is a buy on Zag, ticker symbol ZAGG.
Don't worry if the price starts going up, just keep buying.
Well, the price has been going up, but just keep buying. And last, in the limited time we have left for Justin in Dennis, Massachusetts, it's Cypress Semiconductor, CY.
Cypress is a name we hold, so it's obviously a buy for us. We love their fast-growing end markets. They're levered to the Internet of Things with products like the Nintendo Switch, which has been hot and will be in the holiday season, USB-C ports, which are in all the new phones, and finally the connected car, which is growing rapidly as well. So Cypress is a buy.
So Cypress Semiconductor, ticker symbol CY, that was a buy.
Bye, bye, bye. Is that all you can think about?
And yes, all I can think about right now is goodbyes because, well, Michelle Stevens, goodbye. We've come to the end of our time. But this has been great, and I really appreciate you taking the time out, and I hope you'll join us again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chuck.
Michelle Stevens is the portfolio manager for the Baird Small Cap Value Fund. That's BSVSX. It's BairdFunds.com if you're looking for more information. And again, it's part of R.W. Baird. Robert W. Baird is online at rwbaird.com and on Twitter at rwbaird. All right, we are just about done with the November 9th edition of Money Life. But the November 10th edition of Money Life is going to be one to remember. It is an amazing show. I'm going to tell you about that before we send you home. I'll also tell you where Michelle agreed or disagreed with some of our recent guests. That's coming up before we wrap things up in just a moment.